sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for inviting me back. Hope I didn't scare you too much from the first time I was here, but it's good. It feels like my church home away from home, so what a loving congregation this is, and a lot of activity, a lot of fun, but we need to be given a prayer, so let's do that. Heavenly Father, we bow before your amazing throne. As we come tonight in the Spirit, with our spirit eyes being able to see the glory of heaven above and to see the glory of your throne, the Shekinah glory emanating from your holiness and righteousness, so powerful and so bright that if we were there in our human eyes, we'd have to shield our eyes because it'd be so hard for us to be able to see. But we know that there are millions, maybe approaching billions right now, of those who've gone before us and are there worshiping tonight in your presence, Heavenly Father, and bowing down at your throne, Jesus, our Lord. Oh, what a privilege that is for them. And it's my guess that Jesus, you probably sent out a message to all that are there and said, who would like to worship tonight with those who are at Calvary Chapel? And I bet 100,000 joined in our worship tonight. So although we can look around and say, oh, we wish there were 10 times as many here or whatever. No, our voices were added to hundreds of thousands in heaven. And that is a true fact. Jesus, we worship you. If we were there, we'd be able to see the scars in your wrists and the scars in your ankles. And they're going to remain there forever as symbols of the cost that you paid in full that we might be redeemed and experience forgiveness of our sins. And for each and every one of us, doesn't matter when it happened, some early in life, some later in life, through the power of the Spirit, you spoke to us softly. You wooed us, is the real word, gently nudging us to the point where once we were rebels, in rebellion against you, living our lives for ourselves, selfishly as possible, you said, it's time. It's time. You made a mess of your life. Now it's time for you to come and become a servant and slave of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we did that. We did that. And our lives were changed from that moment on forever. And now we are members of the family of God, enlisted in this amazing army, the Church of Jesus Christ, the bride. These figures of speech are hard to put together. The bride of Christ, but yet the army of God marching into this world to march against the forces of darkness, to smash down the gates of Hades and hell, to rescue people out of their chains of sin. Thank you. Thank you. Remind us of what we are called to do. And in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, with the authority that you have given to us, thank you that you entrust us, Jesus, with your authority. In your authority now, we are claiming in that authority that you will send protection around Pastor Chick wherever he is right now. Sometimes he can get in trouble. I know that. If you need to send a couple extra angels, please do that. But I pray your protective hand over him at all times, day and night, and bring him back safe and sound to serve you in this fellowship of believers who love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you for inviting me back. I kind of envision this as being a little bit of an informal time. So if you want to raise your hand and have a question to ask me, feel free to do that. Be glad to do that. And Chick didn't ask me to speak on any particular topic. He was foolish enough to leave it up to me to decide what I wanted to talk about. And so as I prayed about this, I'm in the process of a journey. And that journey is learning so much more about prayer. And I thought, well, maybe I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But then the Holy Spirit said, no, there are things to learn about prayer that we all need to learn. And I have to admit, this is the truth. My wife, Patty, right here, is the prayer warrior in our family. So occasionally I might ask her to come up and help me with some illustrations, if that would be okay with you. So even though I think I might be preaching to the choir, there is so much to learn about prayer and the power of prayer in our lives. And I'm just going to scratch the surface tonight, because this book that I have right here, I want you to write it down. This man, he's a dead white guy. His name is E.M., that's his initials, Bounds. And if you go on Amazon, you can find this book. It's called The Complete Works of E.M. Bounds. If you want to learn how to pray with great effectiveness and power, then start studying from this master at prayer, E.M. Bounds, The Complete Works on Prayer. Amazing, amazing. I've had this in my library for many, many years. I picked it up most recently again to go through it one more time, and I'm going to have to go through it many more times before. I really appreciate all that is in here. So I encourage you to look at that book, read that book, get into it, and it will expand your prayer life. So the topic for tonight is essentially the power of prayer. God has delegated to us tremendous power. He said, I envision and have made the church of Jesus Christ, as I prayed, to be an army to rescue people from Satan, to rescue people from their sin, to pull them out of darkness into light. And in order to do that, the power of prayer is at your disposal to rescue people. And not only to rescue people, but to see miracles happen in your life, their life, so that they are amazed and say to you, wow, you prayed, God answered, there must be a God in heaven. I'm going to ask Patty to share this story about our neighbor up the hill. Come on up. Yeah, we might need a microphone. This one right here. Come on up. Take it out. It'll work. There you go.
Do I have wire?
Do you have some wire?
I do. Yes.
Okay. Cool. So we have lovely neighbors up the street, and you prayed for them when the first...
Well, let me tell the first example.
Okay, the first example.
In our church, we had a grandchild that was going to be born, and this young mom was told that there's problems with the baby's heart, and we want to go in to the womb, and we want to operate on this baby.
Intrauterine. Yeah. Surgery.
Well, the mom said, no way, not doing it. We're not. So we prayed, and we prayed hard. The baby came out. He was perfect. The doctors are only practicing. Remember that. Doctors are only practicing. They are not all-knowing. So the other example, very similar to this, our neighbor came down, and she's a GP. She's a doctor. And she says, Patty, can you bring my mail in? We're going to be in the cities for like 6 weeks. I'm like, what? They have a two-year-old, and she's very pregnant with her son that she had. Yeah, they've done two tests. There's probably nurses here that know better these tests than I do, that the aorta was thinning. So she had to go to down to the cities and stay near the University of Minnesota, because when the baby's born, they have to sew that up really quick. So they have to be at a place that could do it. You know, we live up with the rocks in college, you know, way up. Okay. So I just asked her, may I pray over you? Okay. But, you know, the tests, they did two of them, basically telling me the tests were never wrong. I mean, she never did say that, but that was the inference. So I said, well, I pray to a miracle-working God. Let me just pray over your baby. So prayed over her, him.
As far as we know, Allison does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus
Christ. They go to the Lutheran church now.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's very sarcastic. We have so many up north. Anyway, all this to say, I prayed over her. She went to the city. She's going to be gone for 5 weeks. I mean, you guys, she gave me all her seedlings to plant in my garden because she wasn't going to be able to do gardening. And a week goes by, her husband comes home, and I'm going, here's the mail. How's everything going? Well, she's coming home. What? And he didn't want to, I don't know if he didn't want to talk to me, but he had to get back home. So I had to wait for her to text me and tell me her baby was fine. He was born fine. So when you pray like this and these things happen, it just really builds your faith. And then you're ready to pray more. It's easier to ask people to pray, if you may pray over them. Is there more?
Only if you want to share more. That's up to you.
Well, you're preaching. You'll preach it well. All I want to say, this is just one thing. I've got a mic that I never do this at church. So
yes, you do.
Oh, yeah, I do. That's right. We do praise together.
We have prayer twice a month, and Patty leads
yeah,
it. So
I,
there
yeah.
you go.
He'll be talking about this. This book, I'm in the book further than he's been in the book. I'm 72. I'm reading these chapters and I'm like crying because I'm so old. Why didn't I learn this younger? Why didn't I know how to pray like this when my kids were like this instead of 45 and 42? So all I can say is this book is great. It's really changed my prayer life. It's changed Daryl's prayer life. I just want to encourage you. One other thing. Pray specific prayers, and God will answer specific prayers. I never take a prayer request that's silent or vague. It has to be a specific, because that's how God answers, specifically.
Yes. In my notes, I'm eventually going to get to the praying medic.
Oh, yes.
That's okay. Kind of changed our prayer life tremendously. I don't know how they feel about the praying medic, but that's kind of how we got started.
Yes, that's how I got started.
And then we graduated to EM Bounds. But tell us a little bit more about.
Do you know who Dave
who
Hayes is?
Who the praying medic is?
Praying medic.
Oh, this is new. Oh, my. Okay.
Well, Dave is a man who was a EMT.
David Hughes.
And he was in an evangelical church. And he wanted to pray more. He wanted to have his prayers answered. And when he was in the, what's it called?
Well, he's an EMT.
EMT.
Yeah.
So when he's in the ambulance, he would pray over these people. And he prayed over like 50 people and no one was healed. And he goes, God, why aren't these people being, you told me to pray over, I'm praying healing prayers. And God said to him, I'm telling you to do it. I'm telling you to do it. In other words, you to command the healing. It's not, oh, dear Jesus, please, 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 beg, beg, beg. It's you command it. You know what my will is.
I gave you the authority.
Yeah, I
now
gave you the
it.
Authority. Jesus gave you the authority.
Yes.
So he's, this man prays and people are healed. Healed. So we've been praying more on that.
On that level.
In that vein, on that level of commanding healing. I started going to the Y to a swim class early in the morning, and there's women my age, and the teacher had a problem with her leg, and I felt very comfortable asking her, may I pray over you? And I prayed over her twice. It doesn't always just take one prayer. But when God answers your prayers, then you have more faith to ask people, may I pray for you? So the Dave Hayes story is a lot longer, the praying minute, but that's how I got started in really praying confidently that, yes, I know God's will. I can pray these types of prayers.
Yeah. So not only E.M. Bounds, but Praying Medic is also a very good resource to look at. Thank you, dear. I might call you up again in a minute. We are in an army, like I said. God has called us to rescue people and to pray specific prayers for healing and for release. I'll get to that in a minute, what that means. But let's take a look at our authority. Luke, write down in your notes, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The 12 were sent out on a mission, but then Jesus sent 70 out on the exact same mission. And he said, I want you to go. I want you to heal people. I want you basically to raise the dead. And I want you to cast out demons. So in Luke chapter 19, the men came back. They were excited. Oh, look what transpired. This is amazing. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And I'll get to that later in my talk. And he said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Those are levels of satanic demonic beings is what they are. They are levels, different kinds. I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nothing in this process. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this power that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? That's the real joy that God has given us salvation in Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, he's giving us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And I think we need to just look at that real briefly here because it's all about authority. He's in Galilee. He's about ready to ascend into heaven, but he has to give the church its marching orders. And so there they are gathered around Jesus, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Got to pause here for just a second because there's a lot of garbage going on in our world today. I don't know what you think about the hurricanes. We need to pray about that when we finish here, but there's so much suffering in North Carolina. Thousands are gone. Thousands. They're just bulldozing cities and people over without even trying to rescue people. It's just horrible. Well, maybe you don't know this, but I believe it's the beast of Revelation 13 that's in charge of all of that. It's the beast. On the other hand, it's the Lord who controls the weather as well. So what is he doing? Well, when there are millions and millions of aborted babies, Crystal, thank you for what you do. Thank you. There is no way for our nation not to be under God's curse. And if he's going to use hurricanes like this to bring our nation to repentance, that's his choice. If he's going to use what the Satan wants to try and do to hurt us, to bring us and wake us up spiritually, he can. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes. But it's there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Why do you need to know that? Why? Because I'm about to send you out on a mission to make disciples. While you go on your daily lives, or even overseas, doesn't matter where, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always into the end of the age. In the process of making disciples, we need power to do that, because they are in the grip of Satan, and they will not be released without prayer. Just witnessing to people, yeah, that's important. But long before you witness and share the gospel, are you praying through the powers of darkness to break through their blindness, to open their eyes? That's why Christ said, I've given you authority to do that. Accept it. Realize it. And he emphasized it again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Starting with verse 7, if you want. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. As you go and make disciples, you have power at your disposal to bring them into the kingdom. Power. Let me give you some examples. I asked Patty to come up here a little bit earlier to share some. They're wonderful examples. I started a prayer ministry where thousands in our zip code see on their Facebook a picture of Patty and me in North Dakota, South Dakota, actually, with the saying says, "Hi, Alexandria, how can I pray for you today?" And it costs a little bit of money, costs Facebook advertising money, no big deal. But people then will click on, yes, I have a prayer request. And so I will get it in my Messenger account, and the prayer requests are, they're heavy. They're really, really heavy. How can I say this? They're suicide thoughts. I'm ready to commit suicide, and I'm at my last. I don't know what to do, and I'll send them a prayer. Or so-and-so has cancer, and we don't know what to do, or financially, this or that. I mean, they're just heavy, heavy prayer requests. And I was suffering physically, not knowing why I was suffering physically when I started this prayer ministry 3 months ago. So Patty said, let's go to our doctor. She's a Christian. She loves the Lord. And we're in her office there, an exam room, and says, there's nothing wrong with you physically. I said, but I have these symptoms. I'm not sure why I've got these symptoms. And she said, what happened 3 months ago? And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I started a prayer ministry. And she said, so describe it. And I said, well, basically, in this prayer ministry, I am attacking the strongholds of Satan. There's alcohol, there's drugs, people are in rehab, there's suicide, there's this. Then I realized, I am attacking, in my prayer ministry, the strongholds of Satan on people's lives. And she said, oh, certainly, Daryl. You have a team of prayer supporters around you, right? No, I don't. And I'm glad Patty was there to hear her say this. She said, okay, do not pray for these people at any time of the day. You're making a mistake. What do you mean? She said, no. Pray for them at a specific time of the day. I chose 10 o'clock, Monday through Thursday. If they come to you on Saturday, they're going to have to wait until Monday. Why? Because you need a prayer team supporting you in prayer during that hour that you're praying for these people as well as everything else, so that you can no longer be afflicted by the enemy. And once we started the prayer support team around me, the physical symptoms vanished. Isn't that amazing? No longer being pressured, not being able to breathe like I want to be able to breathe. That was the number one symptom. And Patty has a prayer group on Thursday that did the best of all of them to help me get through that. So I lost my place in terms of I have no idea where I was. But anyway, I want to talk about the prayer ministry. So I get these requests, and all of a sudden one of them shows up that's a gal attending our church. I would never have known that she had stage 3 melanoma cancer, skin cancer. And she was told by her doctor, your numbers that we measure are going through the roof. You're going to have to go back on chemotherapy. You're going to have to go back on radiation in order to drive these numbers down, or you're going to lose your life. So, okay, Jan, I'll pray for you. We prayed. We commanded the body, the immune system of Jan's body, to attack that cancer and cause it to go away. And she responds the next day. She said, I went in for my appointment to the doctor, and the doctor said I would have to start chemo and radiation almost immediately. They did more tests to find out what the numbers were, and the numbers are way down from where I had. I don't need chemo. I don't need radiation. Thank you, Jesus. Member of my church, I would never have known, by the way, that she had that unless I had the prayer ministry. Answers to prayer. Patty told you about our neighbor up the street. Wonderful. Wonderful answers to prayer. Someone close to us, their marriage was not doing well because the young man was so addicted to his video games. And so Patty and dear friend got on their knees and said, we're going to pray that he discovers that it's not working well for his marriage. A couple days later, what happened? All of a sudden, here comes a box of video games and whatever it is that they use to play it out the door. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. I've been in ministry, this is my 50th year of pastoring. What a privilege it has been all through these years. And I just did a podcast with my daughter, Joelle. She has a podcast called The Courage Contagion. She wanted to interview me about the experiences I've had over 50 years of fighting the demonic. And so we spent an hour talking about that. But in that area as well, you need to appropriate the power of God in prayer to release people from the grips of Satan that is keeping them trapped. So what does that mean in the occult? Well, back in New Jersey, when I pastored New Jersey, the president of Northeastern Bible College asked me to help him. He became my mentor in dealing with the occult. Prior to that, I had experiences in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Prior to that, in Greek class at the University of Minnesota, can you believe that? I had to take Greek before I went to seminary so that I could know Greek. And in Greek class at the University of Minnesota, two girls here and a guy here are talking about their friendly spirits. I said, what are you talking about? Friendly spirits. What do you mean? Oh, yeah. We have, this is my friendly spirit's name, and this is my friendly spirit's name, and this is my friendly spirit's name. I said, what are you? Well, we're witches, and I'm a warlock. I said, tell me more. And how prevalent is this? The University of Minnesota. They said, don't you know? Minneapolis is a center. It's a center of witchcraft. I did not know that. Wow. So is Portland, Oregon. But anyway, that was my first exposure to it. But anyway, the mentor in New Jersey, godly man, he wrote a book on dealing with the occult and all of this. He said, Daryl, I need your help because I'm just overwhelmed. I'm trying to run a school. I'm trying to keep it afloat. There's a coven that meets on our property back in the woods, Essex Fells, New Jersey, praying weekly that our school will close. Not sure that it closed because of that, but he knew that it was there. Coven meeting in the woods. And he said, but I'm so booked with situations. Would you be able to team up with me and help me out? And I said, only if you mentor me, teach me how to do this. And so that's kind of how I got more and more involved in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. First assignment he gave me was from a woman that said she is trying to live her life normally, but there's this person over here who is telling her everything that's happening in her apartment. Everything. Exact time of the day, she's doing this, this, and this. I said, no, that's astral projection, dear. This person over there is involved in the occult. They're harassing you with astral projection. Let's break that curse now. And we did. This is the power that we have available to us from God. He didn't say, I gave you a little bit of power. All power is available to you. And one of the things I've learned is that demons are not afraid of you. And they're not afraid of me. Oh, but they are afraid of the name of Yeshua Mashiach. And you proclaim that name and you use his authority and they must leave. And that's exciting to see people being blessed by escaping the grip of Satan. In Cedar Rapids, there was a girl trying to escape a coven. She ran to us as pastors. We had to get her on a plane to Florida. Otherwise, the coven would have killed her because she was being groomed for, and you know what. Another gal came out of a coven as a witch. She came to church and asked for help. I brought her into my home. Probably shouldn't have done that. and many, many examples, many examples. But being in that ministry, you have to realize you have great power that flows from heaven above into the situation you're dealing with. If you have questions about that, you can ask me later. But those are just some of the examples of the power that flows from heaven through you to the situation that is in front of you. Patty's example of the baby in our neighbor's womb, wonderful example. Wonderful example. She's a doctor. She said, tests don't lie. We did three of them. And then she comes back, no problem. All of that to help her realize there's a God in heaven who cares about her and her little baby Bo. What's his name? That's Bo, we call him for short, but Bo, yeah. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful child. All right, so those are the examples of miracles that God can do, and there's many, many more we can share with you. But I want to get into conditions. So if you're taking notes, what are the conditions? You'll find this book so helpful in that regard. There are things that we must have in our lives that our conditions need to be met in order to have prayer be prayers of power. And the number one condition is faith. Faith. If you can remember this sentence, it will help you a lot. The sentence is, not that God can, no, but that he will. That's all the difference in the world. Anybody can have faith that God can do a miracle. Oh, yeah, we read it in the Bible. No. Faith means, do you believe that God will do this miracle in this person's life? That's huge. It's huge. Most of the time you'll find, as you're praying for a person's healing or a situation in their life, sometimes it's immediate. Good, many, many times it's immediate. It's wonderful to see. But sometimes it's not immediate. So that if it didn't happen immediately, do you think, well, I blew it. God didn't come through when I thought he would. So evidently it wasn't his will. No, you're looking at it totally wrong. You really are. Because if it's delayed, which many, many times it is delayed, God is using that delay for a very good purpose. Teaching you, for one thing, but teaching the person that you're praying for that there is a reason for that delay. Don't give up on the prayer. If you know that God intended for that person to either be healed or come to Christ, and the delay is happening, do not give up on your prayers. Keep it up. Do you believe that God will, not that he can, but that he will? So the number one condition for a power prayer is faith. Faith to believe that God will do it. The passages in the Bible almost sound crazy. They do. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do. Really? I mean, did you really mean to say whatsoever? Jesus? Yes, but. Here's how this works. It's beautiful. You're walking with the Lord. Your hands are spiritually clean. You've confessed your sins. You've been asking Jesus through the Spirit to move your will and to speak to you from day to day. And what does he say it is? If you abide in me, that's what it means. You are abiding in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Why? Because you're connected. You're connected. Your will and his will now are in tune with one another, so that when the Spirit is speaking to you and you're fully devoted to Christ and you're saying, this is what I want for you to be glorified in, not for me, this is not selfish, then the Spirit whispers to you, do this. Pray this. Ask whatever you will, because I am controlling your will. I'm making you want that. For example, the disciples, Peter and John, were walking to the temple. You read that in the book of Acts. And they came across a beggar who was lame. And of course, the beggar's asking for alms. Peter smartly says, yeah, you don't need shekels. That's not what you need. In the name, did you notice this? What did they do? Did they, John, we better go over here and pray first. No, they didn't do that. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up off your mat and walk. Why did they know that? Because their will was so in touch with God's will already. The Holy Spirit had been speaking to them, tell that man to get up off his feet and he will do it. You see? That ability. you will hear pastors say, the days of miracles, that was ended in the New Testament. There, no more miracles. So that was just the apostles. And I want to say to those pastors, you're nuts. You're absolutely crazy. You're taking the power away from the church of Jesus Christ. God said, I gave you power to attack the forces of darkness. You read Ephesians chapter 6 if you want to. I gave you that power. Why are you telling your churches there's no power left? What's wrong with you pastors? And they say, oh, no, that was just for the apostles. Only they had the power to speak to lame people and tell them to get up. Okay, answer me this. First of all, why do you think that God withdrew the power to the church and made it a wimp? Really? What's wrong with your thinking? The church is a marching army, but not only that, but in Luke chapter 10, did you not read that after the 12 disciples went out, he gave the same authority to 70 just typical people like you and me? And the church would call them laymen. That's a crazy word because we're all laymen. We're all the same, pastors, people, clergy, people. No, 70 had that authority and that ability to go out into the villages, raise people from the dead, and heal them from their sicknesses and cast out demons. You have the power from God to deal with the demonic. Had I known in Greek classes years ago about this ability, I should have said to my fellow students in Greek class, would you like to get rid of that friendly spirit? Would you? One of the members of my church there in New Jersey, we led them to Christ. Wonderful people, messianic Christians, Jewish believers. And she said, Pastor, you know, I'm not so sure about what's happening in my home. Maybe I should ask you for your help. I said, what's going on in your home? Well, I've got this friendly spirit that shows up. And I said, there is no such thing as a friendly spirit. But here I got Polaroids. It was back in the days when we had to have Polaroids to take pictures. That shows you my age. I got Polaroids. What do you mean? Yeah, so here in my bathroom, this friendly spirit shows up in the mirror, and I took a picture, and it's a regular thing. And I look at the picture, sure enough, there's a manifestation. That's how demons do it. They manifest. Usually to entice you to, you know, look at the power you can have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, no, dear. No, dear. This, you may think, is a friendly spirit, and you might be spending more and more time with this friendly spirit, and that spirit is going to engage you and trap you and take over you. Let's get rid of it. We cleansed the house. Cleansed it, got rid of the spirit. Happened the other day. I was in my office. A gal calls me. She said, oh, I don't know who to call. Maybe there's a pastor in town who can help me. I said, what's the matter, dear? I didn't know this woman from anybody. She says, well, we just live a couple doors down from your church, so I thought I'd call the church that's closest to our house, and you're it. And I said, what's going on? She said, well, I lost my husband, passed away several years ago, but I had a nightmare last night. My husband was the focus of that nightmare, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't wake up from this nightmare. I wanted to wake up from this nightmare, and there was this heaviness on myself, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't call out to my roommate friend here in the house, and what's going on? And finally, I got up, and both of us saw this haze in the room, this manifestation in the room. What is happening? I said, dear, you need to have your house cleansed. Here is what the prayer you need. If you want to write this down, here's the prayer I gave her. And this needs to be used. I use it all the time. First of all, you need to identify who your authority is. I'm getting way off track. That's okay. Because demons now are getting sly. They are taking the names of Jesus. And if you ask a demon, what's your name? They'll say, I'm Jesus, or I'm the Holy Spirit. No. You say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross and rose from the grave, in that name I command you, all of you, from the highest in authority to the least in authority, assigned to this person, assigned to this house, to leave and go wherever Jesus tells you to go. And if it was up to me, it would be the pit. But I'll let Jesus decide that. We're not leaving. Oh, yes, you are. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who rose from the grave, I command you to leave this house, the halt and the highest of authority, least in authority. You must go and go wherever Jesus tells you to go. That's your prayer. That's what you use. You need to tell your friends, if you're being afflicted in this area, that's what you need to do. They may come back again 2-3 days later. Pray it again. They may come back a week later. Pray it again. Then they'll finally leave you alone. I'm going to stop. Are there any questions you might have at this point about what I've just been talking about? Okay. You want the prayer repeated? In the name of Jesus. You can call him Yeshua if you want to. That's his Hebrew name. Mashiach is his Hebrew name, meaning Messiah. In the name of Jesus, who died on the cross. You can say Nazareth if you want to, from Nazareth. Who died on the cross and rose from the grave. That identifies the power source. In that name, I command any demonic entity, from the highest in authority to the least in authority, assigned to this person or this house, to leave and go wherever Jesus tells you to go. You got it? Okay. Thank you for asking. Any other questions about the power available to you? The complete works of E.M. Bounds on prayer. This is the all of his books, all in one volume. It's a compilation of all of his books. Okay? I mentioned that the president of Northeastern Bible College was my mentor, one of my mentors on spiritual warfare. But I have another mentor as well. And you can write this down, and I encourage you to do that. The book title is Spiritual Warfare, simple title. Spiritual Warfare by Carl, spelled with a K, K-A-R-L, Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. P-A-Y-N-E. Spiritual Warfare, Carl Payne. And he wrote the book to help, you know, non-professionals, I guess you could say that, to deal with the occult. And I like him a lot, mainly because he went to my seminary and because he taught at my seminary, the only seminary I went to. Very, very practical, very practical book. So, there you go. Question, any more questions?
Yeah. I do. At towards the end, you said that there were three I only picked up on the one faith. Is there?
There's more coming.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to them yet.
Oh, okay.
But they're coming. They're coming. So number one is faith. So remember that sentence. It's not that God can, it's that God will. You say, well, how do I know what God's will is? That's a good question, isn't it? The Bible tells you what his will is on so many issues. This frustrates me as well. Pastors will say, how do you know God wants that person well? How do you know that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question. Let's talk about healing. I believe that God wants everyone well. It's biblical. Take care of this body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be well. Practice good caretaking of your body. And learn to fast. Fast is biblical. Fasting is healthy. And intermittent fasting is very healthy for your body. But there are exceptions. So does God want everyone well? Well, Epaphroditus in the Bible was not well for a reason. He was really, really sick for a reason. Paul could not get rid of his thorn in the flesh for a very, very good reason. Timothy was sick a lot. And Paul said, how about if you drink a little wine, Timothy, to settle your stomach? So is everyone going to be healed of their disease? Well, sometimes no, because of other reasons. And we can get into a lot of those reasons. But when you're going to and this is where I need Patty's help as well. But if you're going to pray for healing over a person, there are some reasons why that person will not be healed. Number one, there might be significant sin in their life. And James talks about that. Is anybody among you not well? He says. Well, then you need to call the elders of the church to gather around you. And what are they going to ask you? Number one, are you in right relationship with Jesus? If not, confess your sins to one another, and then you will be healed. See, there's sin involved. And the reason they're ailing, the reason they're sick, is because God wanted to get their attention. Does that make sense? And so the elders are there to discover the root cause. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness and get this cleared up in your life. That's what James is talking about. So there might be also satanic situations. What have you given over to Satan? Is there anger in your life that you haven't confessed? Is there bitterness in your life you haven't confessed? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that that's a stronghold for Satan. It's actually a foothold. It's topos in Greek, T-O-P-O-S, topos, means place. And if you continue to hold anger in your life and bitterness in your life and not confess it and not forgive, then that is a toehold for a demon to begin to afflict a person. And then it becomes a foothold. And then it becomes a campground. See what I'm saying? There's issues. The person wants to be healed. No, let's deal with the issues first. Does that make sense? So sometimes there might be a satanic interference in that person's life. You have to get to the root causes. So you got to deal with all of that. But what does God will? Well, let's take a look. Here are the things he wants to happen in people's lives. Number one, he wants people to be delivered from demons. You can do that. Of course, the person has to work with you and want that as well. And you need to find out if they're willing to do that. But he wants everyone, everyone to be free from demonic interference in their lives. So that's number one. Number two, he wants people to have whole marriages. So you, if a marriage is in trouble and you can see it and the couple is coming to you and say, we have issues, then get on your knees. We're going to ask God to bring healing in this marriage. He wants whole marriages. Number three, he wants godly children. Number four, he wants unity in the church. Number five, he wants justice. Number six, he wants purity of life. Number seven, he wants healing for most people, but get rid of the conditions first. And number eight, he wants conversions. The Bible says that God wishes that all will be saved. Not that he wills, that's a different thing. The word is different in Greek. He wishes, this is his desire. But as I look at this more closely, I see two passages of Scripture that give me great encouragement as I pray for people that I want to see born again. What are those two passages? Well, the first one's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. He's talking about mixed marriages, where one is a Christian and the other is not. Doesn't matter, you know, if it's the husband's not and the wife is, or the husband is and the wife is not. Doesn't matter. They're mixed. And he's telling them, do not, if your husband is not a believer and you're a believer, don't just up and leave. Don't do that. Stay home. Stay with him. Why? Because in that situation, your spouse is sanctified. Ooh, what does that mean? Set apart. And I believe there's such power in that that a non-believing spouse will eventually come to Christ, but you got to put it into prayer and call the power of prayer. That's what Peter's saying in 1 Peter chapter 3. That's the second passage. Wives, if your unbelieving husband is an unbeliever, how do you act in front of him? Well, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. Be a Sarah. Act like Sarah. Humbly submit and show true Christianity. Eventually, what will happen? You'll come to Christ. So I believe that God wants people close to us to be saved. To be saved. Pray for it. So, first condition was faith. That's all that I said was all about faith. Second condition is desire. Desire. How passionately do you want that to happen? Really? Are you hungry? Thirsty? For that? Then your desire will be strong. If you're ill, your desire will probably be strong. If you're being attacked by Satan, your desire will probably be strong. If a person's on their way to hell and they know it, their desire for conversion will probably be strong. So desire is a condition. It's a factor in whether or not your prayers will be answered. Third condition is fervency. Fervency. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man, Elijah, what did it do? Brought famine for 3 years, and then it brought rain. Fervent, fervent prayers. Where's the passion? Where's the pleading? And then there's so many more. I'm just scratching the surface tonight. Truly I am. And I'm only going to give you four. Want the book? Buy the book. Number four, character and conduct. Character and conduct. Character is who you are. Conduct is how you behave. There's a difference. But your heart has to be right with God in order to have your prayers answered. You can't be hiding an area of your life that says this is off limits to the Holy Spirit and expect your prayers to be answered. Can't do it. It's not possible. It's not possible. I'm going to try to wrap it up. Unless you have questions, feel free to ask. Yes, sir. Cool. Did you say it's your first time?
Yeah.
And we didn't scare you away? I love it. I love it. Yeah. That comes from the book of Joel. Yeah, Joel. And then Peter quoted from the book of Joel about the dreams and the visions. Yes, go ahead. Yep. Good question. Very good question. First of all, before I answer that, let me give you two words that help understand this concept of how the demons affect believers, okay? So, people say there's no such thing for a Christian to be possessed. That's bad terminology, okay? Look at it this way. Say it, there's this beautiful house on the hill, and this beautiful house on the hill has 20 rooms, and they're all lit up. So anybody down the valley can see this beautiful house on the hill. Who owns that house? Well, the homeowner owns that house. But if it's only him and his wife, he might decide to rent out a room or two. And so if he rents out a room or two, they could be, you know, bad renters, really, who are going to mess up the rooms and turn the lights out. That's what happens to Christians. Jesus owns your house. You can never switch ownership. Once you're a believer, you're always owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes sense? He owns the house you live in now. But you may rent out a room. You may rent out a room by an open door. And if you leave that open door open, you're going to have a squatter come in. And that squatter is going to stay there until you kick him out of the house. Does that make sense? We call that being demonized. Demonized. It's a very biblical word. It's a Greek word, daimonozai. So you are afflicted by a demon that is camping out in your life because you rented out a room or you opened the door. The other word is for a person who's walking with Jesus, fully confessed, there's no sin in their life that they know has opened any door, no Ouija board, no tarot card, none of that, no pornography, no anger. They can still be oppressed. Two different forms. Oppression is the demon over here banging on your head. You are. You're ugly. You are fat. You are, and fill in the blank. You're hated. Your husband hates you or your wife hates you. That's a demon pushing thoughts in. They can't read your mind, but they can push thoughts into your mind. Okay? So when I preach on the occult, when I preach on Satanology, I have to have extra protection now, because whenever any pastor would expose his congregation to the truth of the Word of God about demonology, I will wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning with a terrible nightmare because I'm attacking the enemy. He doesn't like it. So your dreams that you're talking about, you just express what I would consider is an attack. A demonic attack. And so what I would suggest you do before you go to bed at night, any night, is say, in the name of Jesus, who died on the cross and rose from the grave, I command any demonic entity from the highest authority to the least authority assigned to me personally or to this house to leave and go wherever Jesus tells you to go. And Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to protect my home, this room, from demonic interference so I can get a good night's sleep. Does that make sense? I need a good night's sleep. And hopefully those dreams will cease. And if they don't, pray it again. Say it again. Okay. Yeah. Spiritual warfare is what it is. You have the power available. Use it. Does that make sense? Use it. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Take the microphone there.
We have young parents here.
He's going to turn it on.
Okay. Our daughter, I won't say her name, has a son. She has three children. And when her son was about, he was little.
One and a half.
She came in, white-handed, just screaming, having what they call night terrors. And this went on for three nights. And she's like, I'm not getting any sleep. And she kept trying to think, what did I do? What could have... Well, she was watching it. I don't even know what the program was. It doesn't matter.
But, Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Modern version, very demonic.
And was Wyatt with her watching it?
No. She opened the door.
She opened the door. So she realized at the very end, English teacher, you know, she wanted to watch the movie. At the very end, she knew she couldn't get the TV off fast enough, but she saw this...
Entity.
It was not a good thing. And she realized that she had to ask forgiveness for that. But she didn't realize that until after she called us at 2 a.m. to have Dad pray over her son who's screaming, and she can't get him to quiet down. So Daryl prayed the prayer that he's presented to you three times, basically prayed that prayer over their house. We're up in Alexandria. This is down in the cities here. And immediately he stopped crying and went to bed. Went to sleep. No more night terrors. It's that easy. I just want you to know it's not hard. Satan makes you think it hard. It's easy. It's easy.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to frighten you to think that he has more power than you. And he does. But Christ has a lot more power than he does. So operate in Christ's power.
Explain about the authority, that we have the authority, not the powerful ones. The power comes through you.
Yeah, so if you're a police officer, you know, in New York City, and there's an 18-wheeler come barreling down the highway at you, but you need to stop the traffic because there's something ahead. Do you have the physical power as a police officer to stop that 18-wheeler? No, you don't. But you take your badge and you hold it up. You see the illustration? The badge is the authority. That truck driver will slam on his brakes, come to a stop. Why? Because he's afraid of getting arrested and going to jail because there's power behind the badge. That's a good way to remember. Our authority is in heaven, and it flows through his servants. Okay? Simple as that. Oh, this has been fun. Any other questions? Okay. I think the kids are getting squirrely. All right. Please, when you pray in the next several days, pray for the thousands of victims in North Carolina, East Tennessee, now Florida with Milton. Talk to us if you want to about how these hurricanes are actually directed, manipulated. We have evidence of that now. Shameful thing. If you don't know who to contribute to, there is a ministry in Tennessee called the Imago Dei. I can give you the address if you correspond with me through email. I can give you my card. And they are an abolitionist group in East Tennessee that is trying to get diapers baby food and baby formula into North Carolina. They have actually been without power since the hurricane came through, but their neighbor up the hill is on a different grid system, so their neighbor actually has water. So wonderful, wonderful ministry at the Imago Dei. But pray, 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 pray. Yes, Satan's using it on one hand. Jesus is using it on the other hand to accomplish his purposes, to bring people to repentance. These are terrible times for our nation, terrible times. Between now and November 5, November 5th, expect a whole lot more disruption for our nation. So, I forgot your name. Come and lead in prayer. Close our time in prayer, would you? Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Father, I pray that you'd be glorified and lifted up, that our hearts would be constantly before you, and Lord, that you'd give us a sweet rest tonight for activities tomorrow, and just thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.